I have Audrey McGibbon with me. She's an occupational psychologist, researcher, wellbeing expert, and co-founder of Eek and Sense. And I want to know, Audrey, what can we do when people are getting anxious towards the end of the year? Like, we've got the domestic space, but we've also got the workspace at the moment with sort of hybrid work arrangements. They're often the same thing. What could you be doing to keep people happy and productive at work, you know, as we wind down?
Thanks. I think there's actually quite a lot of things that could be done. So first of all, it's just an education piece around, in case anybody's not clear, you could just be running a little sessions on recognizing the signs of unhelpful stress. So over arousal, George, you know, things like heightened levels of physical symptoms, you know, heart rate going too fast, your breathing's shallower, you've got more tension and headaches and you're not sleeping that well. So just make sure that you kind of are doing little bits of mini education around the physical stuff and also the emotional stuff. So if you are finding yourself more irritable, you're finding it difficult to concentrate, those are symptoms of stress. And anticipating and knowing that those are ways that you might be feeling is half the battle. You know,
and what about if you're observing it?
What
about it when you notice it in other people? Because I think sometimes when you're in that state, you don't recognize it at the time. Yeah. And sometimes you need someone else who can say, hey, you know, or I don't know, like if you observe it in a colleague, how would you sort of have a conversation about that?
Well, that's a whole different kettle of fish. I mean, so the first thing I think is do really try and notice it in yourself.
Yes.
And even if you don't notice the stress, just notice that I had a really crap sleep last night, so I am going to have to be on good behavior today, or I might really end up snapping at my, you know, my team or my clients, and that's not a good thing. In terms of what you would say to other people, George, it's probably just, I mean, tread carefully and say, hey, you know, can I just check in? Are you all right? Because you know, you just flew off the handle at me and you don't usually do that. Or I saw you, you know, you're really, you're just not looking or sounding like yourself. So just holding that mirror up.
Yeah, that's gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just noticing in yourself and others in the first place. There are things that you could do, you know, instead of having that god awful tinned Christmas music playing everywhere. Actually, there's some really good relaxation tracks and compilations. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And they're actually designed by scientists to slow the heart rate and to relax us.
Is that right?
They're not going to put people to sleep. Yeah. Yeah. They help us concentrate and keep us relaxed. So you could have some of that just playing at your desk. You could even, I suppose, be piping it through the office.
Yeah.
And plan for it. It wouldn't do any harm, and people can put earpods in, if they wanted to.
Yeah, no, that sounds great.
I think it's a time to be, as for employers, to be ultra sensitive around the messaging, both the intentional and unintended messaging. I think Christmas can be a time where it feels really lonely and exclusionary. So if you don't subscribe to the Christmas celebration, or you do, but you don't have your loved one and your families, or maybe it's a difficult time of year for you, you know, it can really heighten that. So maybe you want to start, you know, for any Christmas orphans out there, or for people who don't do the traditional thing, could we set something up for anyone who would like to, you know, particularly if you've got expats or people who are recently relocated, and sort of really trying to promote the, you know, we don't get to choose our family, but we can build good relationships with people who aren't our family.
Yeah, friends, Christmas
family. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really important point, and especially if you're like, I remember when I first got separated, and that first Christmas was kind of. I mean, I kind of loved it as well. I didn't have the kids. I let my ex have the kids for that. Well, you know, that's where how it fell. And it was weird, but it was also kind of okay, you know, getting my head around it. But the first one is really challenging, and I think I was anxious in prep, you know, in the build up to it. Do you think that's a fairly common thing too? I'm sure when people have been separated. And all you see on, you know, again, if you go on Facebook or whatever, it's all sort of happy families toasting and champagne and yeah. presents and trees yeah. and lilies. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, that's yeah. one. That's
it really can be very isolating and lonely and can make you feel that you've really sort of gone wrong in life. So I think if you know it's or you're anticipating it's going to be a difficult Christmas, I think for you personally to have a plan
yeah.
about what you're going to do and how you're going to spend it. But employers just being really sensitive around not everyone is going to be able to or feel like that. And I think the other reason or the other way that employers can be really sensitive at the moment is about the cost of living stuff. So actually things like avoiding, all right, we're all going for lunch and it's a, you know, $90 fixed person, you know, per head price and everybody's paying their own. I just would avoid anything that involves a compulsory expense above token level.
Because,
yeah. you know, middle-class families even are really struggling at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think that is important. And you can have, I think it's also an opportunity then for employers to demonstrate that celebrating doesn't have to be about, you know, food and alcohol in restaurants. Bring a plate, go to the park for a picnic, have a game of rounders with your team. I almost guarantee it will be a better laugh.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's right. And it takes the tension out of being at a restaurant. You can bring your own sandwich and a bloody juice box and have just as much fun sitting up.
You'll get stuck next to Colin from accounts either.
Yeah. And someone who gets absolutely shickered and somebody else who doesn't drink at all sitting side by side. And I think, you know, not asking always the single people or the people who don't have kids to do the extra shifts is also helpful as well, because I think that assumption gets made quite often. It's like, oh, they don't have a family, you know, they'll be happy to fill fill this spot for us.
Yeah.
Audrey, look, time is up, but I really love chatting to you. Audrey McGibbon, co-founder of Eek and Sense, occupational psychologist, executive coach and wellbeing expert. Thank you again for your wonderful input.
Thanks, George. Have a good day.